Life has a very amazing way of tricking you into believing that you're the only one who ever have experienced this. Are you about to cry?
Okay, I will tell you guys that my period's about to start. My name is Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Believe Mel.
And we are here with episode 215 of
How Married Are You? I'm going to try to do this like Fife Dog. We'll do it. Okay. My name really... Oh, God. That was terrible. Mm-hmm. Let me try it one more time. Forgive me. Mm-hmm. My name really is Yvette. We married 13 years. Live in California and we got four kids. Relationships scary, it's very necessary. We share our love of struggles. We ask how married are you? Every Tuesday and Thursday, shawty. If you're listening, you're in the wedding party. It's okay if you want to put your hands up. You got the questions, we got the answers.
It's chocolate baby story time.
Chocolate baby story time.
It's chocolate baby story time.
One, two, three, and... All right, my bad, y'all.
What is happening? Is the internet?
Story time.
I'm just going to copy and paste this just in case.
Yo, so this weekend, we've been having a lot of mishaps with the children. Not mishaps. They just been irritating each other a lot. And what they do is they like to run tell us. Now, one thing, a rule that I made up a long time ago is like, don't tell me what you didn't tell your brother or your sister already. If you got a problem with your brother and sister, you take it to them first and say, hey, I didn't like that. And don't do that again. And then once they keep doing that thing, then you could come to me and say, oh, I asked them to stop. They're not respecting my boundaries. Then, you know what I'm saying? But these people, they want to now forget the rule and they want to come to me instantly. Dad, Theo called me a da-da-da. Mom, Theo, Uzi hit me. You know what I'm saying? It's always the same thing. So I'm like, don't come to me with a problem that you can solve, right? So I introduced a new thing to them. I don't know if they tried it yet. On you, but basically I say, hey dad or hey mom, right? I have a problem I can't solve, can you help me? Like, that's how you approach me. You got a problem, you can't solve it, I can't help you maybe, right? And so that's what I'm trying to implement. So Theo called Raya, one of the characters from the Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Raya got really upset, came to me, told me, and I'm like, well, what do you mean by that, Theo? And he's like, oh, I just mean that he's not trying hard. And I was like, okay, well, is that what you thought he said, Raya? No. It's like, you know, just communication, right? Them dudes got a crazy rivalry going on, and it's not very fun for the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what you got?
Yesterday, I told my family we're going on a family walk or whatever. No one was super enthusiastic for the walk, and no one ever really is. It's very disheartening sometimes. I think Anaya is often enthusiastic. She's just happy to be together.
With you. That's all she cares about.
But anywho, we were going on a walk. We don't make it a, like, but like 15 steps, right? And automatically Glenn's like, oh, look, a swing. And immediately everyone wants to go swing on the swing, and there's rocks, and everyone wants to go climb the rocks, and there's puddles, and everyone wants to jump in the puddles and do all the things. And I'm just like, you know what? These people don't know what they want. I'm going to take them outside every chance I get, because there's so much life to be lived outside.
Yeah.
And we deserve to live outside.
Yeah. You said a 1,000 hours outside.
Is
that
yeah.
What you're trying to do this year?
So I accepted this challenge and I brought my family in with me, and I was like, hey, if we do this, then we can treat ourselves to a family vacation. And so it's like 1,000 hours outside, 1,000 miles walked. What else was it? 1,000 chapters read.
Uh-huh.
Or 1,000 books read, which I don't know what we're going to do yet, but we're doing
it. We can't
it.
Read 1,000 books, man.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, babe.
Not in my reading pace.
No, I'm saying like,
I'm gonna
like the
that.
Books we read to children.
Oh, yeah.
That counts. 3 books a day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's nothing but a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also am going to count reading, like listening to audiobooks for the kids.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because we enjoy listening to audio stories. So, anywho, y'all, we here.
You're here.
Have you liked the video yet? Mm. Are you subscribed? Have you left a review? 5-star review? Mm-hmm. Have you shared any episodes that you've listened to before this one with any of your friends, family, and loved ones?
True.
Have you done any of these things? Yes, I am interrogating you in this moment. Hopefully, while I am taking this long time to say all these things, you are doing all these things.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, Yvette is hosting an unplugged retreat for moms. Mm-hmm. And when she says unplugged, she doesn't necessarily mean unplugged from the internet or any of that stuff. She means just unplugged from your family. And if you choose to unplug from your phone or all the other things, that is totally welcome. I invite you guys to do that at portions of the day. But this will be on Mother's Day weekend in May, on May 10th through the 13th. I invite you to connect with yourself, to connect with other moms, to connect with God, to connect with nature, and just to spend some time by yourself outside of your family, kind of rediscovering some of the things that bring you joy or some of the things that kind of breathe life into your lungs. You deserve rest, and I am trying to create a space for you to be able to get some of that rest. And your ticket includes a welcome dinner with some praise and worship. We have a 60-minute spa treatment and access to the spa. Gorgeous views. You get a food credit. It is not all-inclusive, but you do get a really healthy food credit to spend at the restaurant and cafe. And you just get so much more. There's so many things that are going to be there. Some of the things I'm trying to leave a surprise. So just know it's going to be bombdiggity.com. If you are a listener and you're like, I can't make it there, but I would love to, like, whatever, in some way, I do have an opportunity for you to become a gift bag sponsor. If you'd like to feature some of your artifacts, some of the things that you make with your hands, or some of the, I don't know, something that you have that you're like, I would love for, I think this would be a great asset for moms.
Yeah.
Hit me up in my email and let me know
that potential vendors.
Yes. That you would like to contribute. So I think, do you want to tell the dads why they should do this?
Yeah. Dads who honor the woman in your life. Mother's Day is coming up. Mother's Day is a day where we celebrate moms, right? And it's a big capitalist day where, you know, mom just kind of focuses on spending time with family. Maybe you take her out to dinner, you do something special. But let's be honest, the real gift of from being a mother is like being able to just not be a mother for a moment. Because being a mother, it's forever pulling at you. And I can say that, having first-hand experience watching my wife. Even, like, there's a whole meme going around, right? Where, like, there's everybody's in the room, like, it's like a family night thing, right? Mm-hmm. And all the kids are sitting there watching TV, and dad's sitting there watching TV. Dad gets up and goes wherever, walks out of the room, and nobody moves.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the reverse. Mom gets up, and everybody walks out and just follows. It's like little ducklings, you know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't get rid of these people if you tried, right? And it's funny because how we travel around the house is that Yvette follows me, and I walk out of the room, and then she's like, where are you going? And she sits next to me, and then they all follow her, and I'm like, what is happening? I need a little bit of space.
So he don't want me because I come with them.
So I understand what it feels like.
That is funny.
To always having that attachment, right? But I do like being attached to Yvette.
Do you?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But when you bring your baggage... All your ducklings.
Our baggage.
It gets so difficult. Our baggage. Them kids do not care about me. And so I have understood what it takes, and a small glimpse of what it takes for Yvette to be a mom. And then watching her reels lately where she's been documenting her day in her life, it's just so much stuff that goes into it. And we should put the extended versions out of everything.
Mm.
Like a 5-minute, like, okay, this is what happened that didn't fit in a real time frame. R-E-E-L, right? I think it's a good gift to give to the woman in your life, the mother in your life, your mom, your sister, your cousin, you know, somebody on your staff, maybe a coworker, a team member who's been killing it. Give them the opportunity to go away, connect with themselves, connect with God. And Yvette is facilitating that place, right? She's not trying to facilitate. Mm-mm. She is facilitating that place. Mm-hmm. And walking definitely more into an unplugged lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. It's a way of life to be unplugged. And sometimes, you know, when you leave the house, sometimes you got to unplug all of your electronics, you know what I'm saying, for an extended time so the house don't burn down. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And before you fry your brain out, you need to unplug from society. You need to unplug from, you know, the demands of life, right? So let's supply yourself with more comfort, more patience, more understanding, more appreciation for every breath that you breathe. And let's make sure you replenish to start this next season of life, this next year, after, you know, in motherhood, right? Let Mother's Day start a new moment for you. You know what I'm saying? So let that help you. May 10th through the 13th. Sign up now. YvetteHenry.com.
Early registration ends February 29th. So make sure you act fast because prices will go up if tickets haven't sold out.
Oh, yeah. Y'all gonna want to get there. And you can double up rooms. So you can go with a girlfriend or whatever.
And there's a pay later option through PayPal. So
yeah. Don't front. Don't trip. Don't miss it out. All right, let's go.
All right. Dear Yvette and Glenn, I hope this message finds you well. I wanted to take a moment to express my gratitude towards your family as you have been a breath of fresh air to me ever since I discovered you about a year ago. Witnessing your healthy family dynamic gives me hope for the future. I love you guys. Thank you so much. At 25 years old, I am currently single and without children. I live alone. And in 2021, I made the decision to quit my job based on what I believe God told me. Since then, I haven't been employed, but I do occasionally babysit. I have placed my trust in God as my ultimate provider. During these past years, I have dedicated most of my time to strengthening my faith in God through church activities, volunteering, babysitting, and working out. I have everything I need to sustain myself, but at times I do feel a bit weary due to financial limitations that prevent me from doing things I desire. My entire journey has been a test of faith with the Lord, even though some people may view me as crazy. In the past, I allowed others' lack of faith to discourage me when I shared my aspirations of becoming a stay-at-home mom and living on a farm to homestead. I would often receive comments like, "I couldn't do that. I need to work for my own independence," or "I would never let a man have that much control." However, my heart's true desire is to be a homemaker for my future family. Recently, God instructed me to cover my head until I am married, and this decision came to me one night. I expressed my feelings of vulnerability and exposure to God, and although people questioned why I suddenly covered my head, I remained steadfast in following God's guidance. Over the past year, I have developed a strong yearning for marriage, to be a wife, and to become a mother. Since my high school days, I haven't been in a serious relationship that I don't consider those experiences to be significant. Wait, what? Since my high school days, I haven't been in a serious relationship, and I don't consider those experiences to be significant. I have had no encounters with men, and it's not due to any issues with my appearance. I've also never been approached by men. I don't know at this point. I'm always asking, is God hiding me? However, my main concern is how to overcome the fact that I have limited experience. Having witnessed numerous unhealthy relationships around me, I am well aware of what I do want. I've made a list and they aren't my cup of tea. I don't know what I would do if a man of God tried to pursue me. It literally scares me. What also scares me is a man pursuing me and me sabotaging it because to the world, I have nothing, but in the Christian world, I have everything I need, if that makes sense. Thank you for taking time to read my message. I appreciate your insight and any advice you may have regarding faith, God, and navigating through these life's challenges. I don't have many pictures with my head covered, so I put a hat on. She put like a hat. And she is cute. She's got beautiful dimples and a beautiful smile. So I think the main concern... What did you take away as the main concern?
I think, you know, fear. Mm. You know, like, I feel like this person is gripped with fear of the unknown. And it's so interesting about life. Life has a very, amazing way of tricking you into believing that you're the only one who ever have experienced this. Are you about to cry?
Okay, I will tell you guys that my period's about to start. I don't know if it's going to happen today. I don't know if it's happening right now, but it is coming. So just...
We should just have a calendar.
Everybody brace yourself. No, but what you just said is I was literally just talking to Ashley. Watermelon egg rolls. Okay. Anyways, I was just talking to her via voice memos, mm-hmm. and we were kind of being vulnerable with each other about, like, you know, the fact that we are homeschooling moms of four kids, and mm-hmm. we also are trying to do this thing over here that is, like, on the side, but not really on the side. It's, like, a main thing, but homeschooling's a main thing, and mm-hmm. and it's, like... She started talking and, like, expressing herself, and I literally started to cry because I was like, she really does get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's the first person I've talked to that really understands how I feel. Mm-hmm. And it made me super emotional. So I really understand what you mean when you say, like, if we were just having more conversations and being more vulnerable with people, we'd probably find out we really aren't that alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that the hard part about being someone who is, how do I call it, like an innovator of some sort, right? Like, you're stepping out. You think that no one else is experiencing what you're experiencing because you haven't talked to anybody about your idea. It's just you and God. So then when you start to walk in it, it's like, where are my people? That's mm-hmm. where you go first. Where are my people? Where are the other people like me?
Yeah.
Right? Or you go, who's my mentor? Like, who am I aiming for? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's really hard to see that.
Yeah.
But those people aren't for sale. Like, they're not promoting themselves because they have been given something by God, probably the same thing God gave you. And it's really hard to publicize that in a world full of consumerism. Mm. Like, we are such a place... And I'm not trying to get all, like, political, but no. But, like, we are in such a place where, like, the people who think different are, like, people look at you like you're crazy. And I realize over a certain amount of time that that's the actual sweet spot. Like, if I talk to someone and they look at me like I'm crazy, I'm like, that's it. Because I don't want to be like you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want your life. I don't want, like, I don't want this. So if you look at me like I'm crazy and you're comfortable, I'm good. Because I don't want, we don't share the same outcome. We may have the same goal. Like, we want our families to connect. We want our, you know, to make money. We want to do this and this and this. But we don't have the same route. We don't have the same calling. We don't have the same, it's going to look different. We're going to end up at the same place, but I'm going to take a different route. And the more crazy people look at me, the better I feel about it. And I used to think that, like, people needed to agree with me. Hey, do you think this is a good idea? Right? I need people to tell me that, man, that's wild. That is crazy. You're going all in. Absolutely. What are you going to do? Right? And there's another thing, and we're going to get back to this in a moment, but I kind of want to, like, talk about something that has really been on my heart lately, about the diaspora, like the Black diaspora. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I generalize and I'll say women or men or most men or most women. And honestly, I don't know. I don't know what most men do or most women do. I know what I do and I know what she do, right? Yvette is the only woman that matters. Truly to me, like, I care. Of course, I love my daughter and I love my mom and, you know what I'm saying, I love my sister, my stepmom. Like, I love people in my life, my cousins, my aunts, my grandmother, like, all these people I love. But you can't look at the diaspora or look at Black men, Black women, a certain type of people as a whole and say this is the problem, because you only need to find one, right? So this individual here is so focused on, like, man, I don't even know what would happen if a man tried to pursue me. We're not talking about a man. We're talking about your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to look the same.
Mm-hmm.
So how you seen it in the movies, how you seen it in your life,
mm-hmm.
the fact that you're not hanging around any healthy couples is going to expose the fact that you don't even know what you're looking for.
Mm.
So you have an eye problem. You need to change your eyesight. You need to change how you see men, how you see yourself. You know what I'm saying? Maybe not how you see yourself, but how you see or how you look for your husband or how you identify. And I would ask God for the eyes to see the right individual, because you're not looking for men. You're looking for a man. And so when you recognize that man, then I feel like God will nudge you, right, and mm-hmm. let you know. And it'll also be made plain to him too, you know. So that's kind of where I'm getting. I feel like she's dealing with a lot of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she has it may not be a bad community. I'm not saying that, but I think she needs more proof.
Yeah. I think on a practical level, that sometimes, like even for myself, I'm realizing that if I'm looking for a certain person to be in relationship with, I have to put myself in environments where their interests are the same, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm looking for other homeschooling moms who are professionals or also have a career, then I attend homeschool conferences and start to network and meet those people. If you have a desire to live on a farm and homestead, then maybe you start to find those types of events to attend in order to meet those type of people. I don't know. But I do think that putting yourself in those environments are helpful as well. But I do know also that if you have a relationship with the Lord, then you, like Glenn said, would get that nudge or that, you know, whatever it is, however the Lord decides to speak to you in the moment about, oh, yes, this is someone that you should pay attention to, or this is someone that you should be open to getting to know more. But yeah, I do think that sometimes fear can be paralyzing in some of the most unfortunate ways that don't allow us to see the things that we desire to come into fruition. And so I would definitely be praying for the Lord to relieve you of that fear and for you to really believe that, like, who he has for you is for you ultimately.
What do you think about what I said about the diaspora and like how men and women are kind of categorized and women don't know what they want. Men don't know how to work. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I feel like everybody kind of has, like, especially like from previous emails, it's been like the same type of emails
mm-hmm.
where, you know, we have a man without accountability who likes to play video games with a wife who works hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, how do we then avoid those situations in a healthy way? Sit. Down.
Why don't you go ahead and get settled? We'll pause.
Yeah.
I'm done.
No, man, you're going to take off your jacket.
And your computer and all the things.
Good morning,
Brandon.
Rain jackets be loud. Good morning, sir. All right, cool. Yeah, what do you think about that? Like, are we...
Her tail is lagging and it's hitting the picture thing.
All done, Lily.
She's like, how are you going to tell me not to be happy?
I know.
I don't know if I understand your question. Like, do I believe that that is true or?
No, I just think that, like, the climate of black love
mm-hmm.
from the dating perspective mm-hmm. with these, like, podcasts of single people talking about relationships and the status of what a woman is called to be and what a man is called to be, like, it's just kind of gross. And it's like, y'all out here trying to describe a whole, like, I don't hear no other culture besides, like, other African cultures
mm-hmm.
talk about like their people like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, are we, you know, in a space where we're hopeful for our one, or are we just kind of like, man, the whole world is jacked up?
I'm coming to a place where I am trying to be free in who I am and who I'm becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, for so much of my life, I've had this formula for how things are supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, started out in school. When you're in school, you're supposed to be a good student, get really good grades so that you can get into college. And then when you get into college, you're supposed to work really hard so that you can have this high paying profession. And then, you know, there's just like a formula to life. And I think when it comes to even like when you are in your 20s, you're supposed to find love. And if you're lucky and you marry your high school sweetheart or your college sweetheart, like, yay. And so I think so many of us are used to like this certain timeline of events and the way things are supposed to go that we get caught up in this idea of, I should be like married by now, or I should be in a serious relationship right now, or I should be having children right now, or I'm getting older, I'm not going to be able to have children any longer, I need to rush this process. And I think that because our society has created these parameters and boxes for us to fit into, it has made us much more anxious. And then when you add social media on top of that, it's worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that I live with a certain level of anxiety and pressure on me because of external factors, that now I'm trying to free myself of those things and live how what makes sense to me.
Yes.
And so I...
Congratulations on that. That sounds like quite a journey.
It's a journey. And I just read, I was reading in a book this morning, and it was saying that maybe the destination is the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I was like, that is a bar, because yeah, like we all think we're journeying to a destination, but maybe the destination is a journey. It is the process of our becoming. And I don't know. I think that, I forget what your original question is. Can you remind me of your original question? Because I can't remember why I went off on this tangent.
Well, I was just saying, like, it just seems like everybody is so focused on everybody and not them or their people, you know?
Yeah, and so that's what I'm beginning to think. Like, Glenn and I are in the process of making decisions for our family that are not making sense for other people. And I texted a couple people, and I was like, hey, we're about to do this thing. And they're both like, we need to talk. Yeah. And I'm like, and part of me is like, I understand these are people who I would maybe share, like, you know, how we came to this decision. But at the same time, I'm realizing, like, I don't owe my life to anyone but my husband and my children.
And yourself.
And myself.
Yourself.
And as I start to make decisions, even like, and there's a lot of things happening in me with as far as how I view homeschool. But even for that part, it's just kind of like, oh, that works for your family. That's great. But this is what works for mine.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I'm going to move according to what I think is a best fit for my family, where we are now and where we're headed.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't have to make sense for anyone. It doesn't have to make sense for anyone but the people who are actually living in it. And honestly, it really only has to make sense for Glenn and I for the most part. Sometimes Glenn makes decisions that I don't fully get. But because I've seen his faithfulness and diligence in other areas, I can rock with it and trust that he's going to lead us in the right direction. And I also know that he submits to God. And when you have a husband who's submitted to the Lord and the word of God, then that is a whole other story. Now, we women out there, we don't necessarily need to be blindly following some men out here in these streets. But for us and our relationship and where we are headed, it works for us. And so for me, I have given myself permission to do things differently than what I've seen.
I want to ask you this because not to toot my own horn, but I'm curious to know, what are some things that you've seen me do that's kind of like, I don't really rock with this. I mean, I don't know if what this is, but I trust it. Because I feel like that example is important because, you know, what do you mean you didn't rock with it? I mean, you rocked with it because you trust me, but like you didn't, you know what I'm saying?
You know, what's interesting is like the whole idea of turning a camera on in our home is a decision that I didn't rock with. And, you know, I think in the beginning we had certain parameters around what that looked like to a certain extent, at least on my end. And then I saw the fruit of what was happening in our community of Black people, Black families, and even for families who are not necessarily Black, right. of the culture, but them being able to experience our family the way that they were able to and gain a broader insight to, oh, they're just like us.
Yeah.
There's nothing different about them except the color of their skin and then everything that our country has put them through. And so I think that that is a decision that I wasn't necessarily pumped on, but I've seen the Lord show up in the midst of it and touch the hearts of many as a result of it. I do believe that your decision to turn the camera on in our home was kingdom work, is kingdom work.
Yeah.
I believe that the impact that we are having is valuable for other people.
And so there are some women or men who are in a season where their spouse or their partner is making a decision and they are uncomfortable with the decision. How could you speak to them?
If you are uncomfortable with the decision and you trust your spouse, I don't know why I'm chuckling at that. I think I'm chuckling because Glenn and I have had recent conversations where it's kind of been like, wait, do you really trust me?
Yeah.
But I think if you're in a if you are in that space and you trust that your spouse is submitted to God and you trust that your spouse has a relationship with the Lord.
That's the one.
And is hearing the voice of God, then let it be. And the best thing you can do is pray, because so many times, and you know, we do have a voice and there is a time to use it, but I would say like pray for discernment about when to use your voice, when allow the Lord to lead you, not necessarily your flesh or your fear or your anxiety, because I think the biggest thing for me is as much as I want to be free, I want my husband to be free, and I don't want to be a shackle for him. And so sometimes we just have to give them space. And even, and one of the things too, for me in particular, is I know that if ish hits the fan, that like Glenn's not just going to leave me sitting in the stuff. Like we're going to work together to clean it up. We are a team. And so, God has proven himself faithful in our lives, and hopefully he's proven himself faithful, or you've been able to see his faithfulness in your own life in such a tangible way that you can give your spouse that space to do what they need to do and just pray.
Yeah. And then I would say on this side, I think I've had to kind of therapize myself out of your confirmation. And that is hard because, you know, as a husband, I don't want you not to trust me. But sometimes the fear that you may be dealing with or having or experiencing has based on the unknown has nothing to do with me or God. Like, it's just between you and yourself. And you have to... Like, I could be like, you don't trust me? I did, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could be trying to prove my, and it makes me feel like, oh, man, I got it. Right? Makes me feel like I got to, I have to, like, really prove myself to you. You know what I mean? As if You are God. Mm. Because God gave me the order, right? Mm-hmm. The idea, the order, like, man, this is easy. It's right here, mm-hmm. you know? And I can't stand how, I don't know if I'm supposed to wait for you mm-hmm. to get it. Mm-hmm. But man, I don't know how many, but I think for me, it feels like it's worth waiting than moving without you understanding. But at the same time, I'm like, I should have just went. But I think an increase on my part would be, because right now, I would say in the past 2 weeks, we've had conversations that we had 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I think that is when it goes like, all right, God, like, Lord, like, am I tripping or am I not supposed to be listening to this? Because I know we're good. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, just recently you said something. You were like, I just need to focus on this. And I was like, how dare you? You remember?
No.
You were like, oh, I'm going to stop doing this so much and I'm just going to focus on this. Mm. You know what I'm talking about? No.
That. Oh.
And I'm like, my lady, what's happening? And then I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it happens like that. You got to go at your own pace. But my thing is like, okay, right, if I know that what I'm doing, like what we're doing is certain, mm-hmm. do you need to agree immediately?
Are you asking this question? Is this a rhetorical question or is this a question?
Honestly, it's not. Because the question, the answer is no. Mm-hmm. The answer is, okay, you're going to be mad. Like, I think the energy toward the question, hey, this is what we're moving. I know you're uncomfortable with it, but just trust me. And mm-hmm. that is like the end of the conversation. And then I got to have faith that you're going to trust God in me.
And, you know, and I think that, I mean, I hope it doesn't take other people as long, but I think that is like 13 years of marriage. Mm-hmm. That's like over a decade of doing life together. You know what I mean? For you to even say that and for me to be like, well, let's go.
Right. And crazy thing is God's teaching me the same lesson with himself. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Where he's like, all right, cool. I already told you to do that. Mm. Are you going to trust me or are you going to wait for your wife to agree? Are you going to wait for your homie to give you permission? Mm. Or are you going to wait for your friends to agree with you, mm-hmm. young lady? Like, are you going to wait for people to be like, you know? And so I already know that I was supposed to change my eating. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I already knew everything I was supposed to do. I already knew I was supposed to do it, Frank. I already knew that. Mm-hmm. It was me, like, waiting for comfort and, companionship. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be obedient under my own terms.
Yeah.
And I don't want to move like that no more. You know what I'm saying? Because there's so much more on the other side, you know? And if the conversations we've been having for 6 years, God has been teaching me the same lesson for longer than that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, faith looks like this. Faith looks like this. Faith looks like, you know, you don't know what you're going to do with your car. You don't know what's going to happen with this. You don't know. It's none of your business. It's my business. Mm-hmm. You don't know what your husband's going to look like. You know what I'm saying? You don't know if you're going to be awkward and nervous, right? Like, mm-hmm. you can't prepare for that. Mm-hmm. You can't prepare for meeting your husband, right? It's not going to look like everybody else. And you need to stop looking at the people around you because it's just going to mess up your mind, right? So
I think obviously community serves a purpose.
Absolutely.
And looking at the people around us it can have value and it can provide insight. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately, like, that's our problem, is looking at the people around us.
Yeah, because then we start to compare.
Yeah, we start to compare. We start to create these molds that aren't necessarily like the mold that God has for us. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the main thing that we have to do is remain in the Lord and allow him to show us like who he is calling us to be. Mm. What life is he calling us to live and be obedient in that. And so, yeah. Yeah, girl. I can't even pull up the email because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, the internet's acting wonky. What one are you on?
I tried to connect to my phone because both of these are not working.
Yeah, you got to use this.
I tried. I was on it.
Okay. All right, babe. How married are you?
I'm so married that.
Pull up your notes.
Let me pull up my notes.
Keep
what's
your
happening?
Seats.
What's happening?
Did you do it on your iPad?
No, it should be here and everything's looking different. Oh, and okay. Oh, the other night.
Oh my gosh. This was crazy. Oh.
I am so married.
Yeah.
The other night. I started asking Glenn.
Can this be mine too? Oh my gosh.
I started asking Glenn a question and I
No,
didn't
even, tell them the question.
I was like, okay.
Listen to this, y'all.
This is very personal. I was in the mirror, I was looking at my boobs and I was observing some things. And then I turned to him and I was like, babe, do you think my boobs? And then I saw his face. And it was like, I saw, you know how there's that one meme where all the like science and math things start to go up above the head and whirl?
What did you say?
It was literally that, what I saw on Glenn's face. And I was like,
what did
you
say? Ask the question.
I didn't even finish the question, but I was about to ask you like.
No, you asked a question.
What did I ask?
You said, have my boobs changed over time?
Oh, yeah. I said, have they changed over time? But I didn't get to what I was trying to say.
You finished. But the thing is, you finished the statement. You probably was like, oh, he's not going to answer this after you stopped. But I just looked at her and I totally disengaged. I like looked at her for a second and I just recommitted myself to what I was doing. Because I think I was reading this book or something.
Yeah,
like
you
that.
Were.
And I was like.
Or were you folding laundry? I don't know. You were doing something. But I saw his whole demeanor, and I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to finish this question. How married are you, babe?
Oh, my gosh. That question was so crazy. Because I was kind of like, what do you mean by that?
I was so genuinely asking you. I really wanted an answer. I have to talk to somebody else, I guess.
I was so confused on what that was supposed to mean.
So you're so married that you didn't answer it.
I'm so married. No, that I just, you know, when you ask me that question, I just understood that's like I feel like that right there is being married. Like that fine moment of awkwardness and like, in like wanting to serve but not knowing how, mm-hmm. and like wanting to get it right but knowing you, it's no way you could get it right. Like, mm-hmm. but you're gonna try your best. Whatever you say, you're gonna get in trouble, mm-hmm. right? But at the same time, you're gonna try. Your intention is gonna be sweet. And I just was like, that right there, that little moment, that what was it? 3 seconds was all of marriage. Like that moment, and I was like, oh, yeah. I'm stuck here. Like, I can't get out the window. I can't drive away. This is my life.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
you're blessed to be here.
No, I'm super blessed. But I was just like, oh, this is no way out of this. There's no escaping it. And so that's how married I am. I just was like, I feel like I was disgusted by the question.
He was. I was just like, wow. I don't even know if I've seen that look on him before. I was just like. Or noticed it at least.
Yeah, it was like it was like I created a new cuss word with my face. That was like, F you, how dare you? Like, please don't do this to me. Like, it was like yeah. I couldn't even, yeah. Anyway.
That is funny.
And
that's just how married we are.